Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, today for this first service of the year, Lord. Lord, I thank you that this is not going to be like any other year. We're coming up this year, coming up stronger, coming up higher, coming up in the glory of God in our lives, Father. Now today, Lord, we just commit this entire time to you. I'm asking you, Father, to rise up big within us, to speak to us and through us and minister your grace to each and every one here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to share something starting today, a new series that is going to literally transform your entire year. How many want to hear that? Amen. All right, come back next week and I'll give it to you. Amen. Now we're going to start today. I guarantee you this, that the principles that we're going to share here today, starting today, you will never, ever, ever be the same person again. Praise God. See, so many times, you know, people, they don't have an expectation. I shared a little bit about that prior a few minutes back, but a lot of people don't have a positive expectation about the future, what's to come, because they've experienced so much bad through the years. Okay? And so they've developed a wrong expectation of negative things happen to them, when we need to have an expectation of what David said, surely. He didn't say maybe, he said surely in Psalm 23, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Well, Brother Keith, you know, that's David. You know, the psalmist David, he could say that, surely goodness and mercy. Listen, that scripture was not given of any private interpretation just for his sake. That was given so you and I, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Is he your shepherd? Yes. Then we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. I never did understand why they would always quote that at funeral services. And it sounds real depressing, but it's actually a very positive psalm. Amen. But surely it says, the last verse says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. Matthew chapter 8, I want to start reading some verses here. Verse 19, we're going to read several verses here, and then we'll break it down here, okay? Jesus is talking here, and he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now let's stop and say this, that Jesus is not saying here, because you can wrongly divide this, you know, and misinterpret what he's saying. He is not saying it's wrong to save up money, to have a savings account. Okay? He is saying here, don't put all of your trust in the natural. That's what he's saying right here. Because that would be against Scripture if he didn't say, you know, because the Bible says he will bless your basket and your store. That's your storehouse. Amen? So what he's talking about here, the essence of this entire chapter, these verses that we're going to read this morning, have to do with one thing, and it's the word trust. Say trust. Okay, it's all about trust, who you trust in. So in verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, what's he talking about right at the light? He says, no man, you know, about two eyes right here. He says, we're to be singly. He says, let our eye, verse 22, if therefore then I be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. He is talking about who we're looking to. If we're looking to man, and then we're looking to God. If we're looking to our job, then we're looking to God. That's being double-minded, okay? He said, let your eye be single-minded. What you look at will affect the condition of your heart. In verse 24, he goes on to say, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or we'd say money. All right? So again, he's talking about what? Trust. All right? You with me now? Then in verse 25, therefore, Jesus says, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. I don't like that phrase, take no thought. That's really important. Take no thought for your life. Now notice this, what you shall eat. That's the first thing. Secondly, what you shall drink. Number two. Number three, nor yet for the body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than clothing or raiment? All right? So notice he says that we're not even to take thought about our lives, what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, or the body, what we're going to put on. Verse 26, this is just a marvelous, you know, portion of Scripture right here. It says, behold, or look, he says, the birds of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Amen? This is deep revelation, folks. That means if God's going to take care of the birds, He's going to take care of you. Aren't you glad for that? I don't know about you, but I saw some birds this morning. You get so used to seeing them that it's you don't even think twice about it. Oh, there goes a bird. You don't even think it's no big deal, you know. But something sustained that birdie. And guess what sustained that bird? The Lord. Okay? So he said, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Verse 26, are you not much better than they? Oh, I'm glad I'm better than a bird. How about you? Verse 27, for which of you by, notice this, taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? In other words, if you worry, is that going to make you grow?
No.
And why take ye thought, there's that phrase again, for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, or the flowers of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. In other words, they don't work at being beautiful. Yet I say that even Solomon, who was the wisest and richest guy at his time, he was the richest man in the world, and God made him that way. But Solomon, in all of his glory, was not even clothed like one of these flowers. Therefore, verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how shall not he much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Now, before we read on here, let's just back up here for a minute here, because Jesus is the most simple teacher that you have to have a theologian to misunderstand him. And there's been plenty of those around, amen? Jesus talked in terms that were so simple to understand that even a child could get it. He said, look at the birds and, you know, look at the flowers. He said, that's the allegory, that's the example. God says, if you look at that and I take care of the birds, I'm going to feed you. Every once in a while, I'll just remind myself of that. Oh, I'll see a bird fly by or lay, you know, perch on the tree or the bush or something right outside my house. I'll say, well, I'm going to be taken care of today. Amen? You remember back in the Old Testament, Elijah was fed by the birds. Remember that? Remember that? He was by the brook Cherith, and God, for a season, he said the ravens would bring every day and just drop food right down in his lap. Okay? But the Bible says, consider the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap. But here's something I noticed too. I've never seen a bird worry. Last year when we had that very harsh winter, aren't you glad this winter is a little bit different? But boy, I tell you, it was so cold. And I saw a cardinal. For some reason, they stay up in this area in the north in the wintertime. You know, beautiful bird. And that thing was just perched on a little tree outside, a dogwood tree outside my front window. And he was singing away and eating berries off the tree. And just as happy as anything. You know, I didn't see him out there worrying and pulling his feathers out, trying to figure out how am I going to get the next meal. He was enjoying himself, and it was like 10 degrees outside. He's singing away, having a good time. Because within that bird, he knows something's going to take care of me. So if God takes care of the birds, you know he's going to take care of you and me. I've never seen a bird worry yet. Okay? There's never been a bird that's gone to a counseling session and said, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I need help. Because something within them says, I'm going to be taken care of. And then he says this. He says, look at the flowers. He said, you know, I don't know about you, but I enjoy the different flowers that God has made. The beauty and the splendor and the colors and the just magnificent. You know, heaven is full of flowers. People that have gone there said, you step on them, they pop right back up. Okay? You can't kill in heaven. There's no death. There's no decay. There's nothing brown that's rotting. You know what I'm saying? Like wood and stuff like that. Everything's alive. Okay? And he said, even Solomon, the richest guy in the East, he said he was the best clothed in that part of the country. He said the flowers outdo him. Okay? And the flowers don't work at being beautiful. They don't stress out over it, strain over it. God created them that way. And so he says, if God clothed the flowers, he said, you know, he's going to take care of you and me. Now, I remember back many years ago when we first started our first church in 1986 over in the South Hills. And we had just started a church, only had a few people in the church. And the place that we met was a women's club. It was the Bethel Park Women's Club, and it was right up the street from where we live. I could walk there to it, you know. So every Sunday morning, I would walk up there because it was only, you know, 150 yards, 200 yards away from where I lived, you know. So I would walk up there. I had my Sunday stuff on, my good clothes, my shoes and all this kind of stuff. So every Sunday, I would walk up there and set up our little portable sound system that we had that was really my home stereo. Very, very humble beginnings. And this is in 1986. Well, I had done that for several months, you know. And I had gotten to the point where I wore a hole in my left shoe, okay? And if you look down and you did this, you know, you could see my sock through the shoe. There was a hole there. So consequently, when it would rain, that wasn't a good thing, okay? We're talking humble beginnings back in the day, you know. And the Lord began, and I didn't have enough money to even buy a pair of shoes back then. I didn't have enough money. And so the Lord began to deal with me about putting my trust back in those early days of ministry. He said, I want you to start putting your trust in me, and I want you to trust me for a new pair of shoes. Well, this is like new territory for me. I've never believed God for a new pair of shoes. All right? I didn't have enough money to go out and buy a pair of shoes. So I just went to the Lord about it. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you right now. I need a new pair of good shoes so that I can wear to church and so forth, you know. So about a month later, we had a Christmas service. And, you know, it was a Christmas Eve service, actually. And there was a gentleman that came in that we knew from way, way back. And he was in the, I forget which branch of the military, but he was from Pittsburgh, and he came back. He looked us up and came out to visit us on a Christmas Eve service. And I remember his name was Greg. Remember that? Greg Soffren, I remember that. And he came to visit us and so forth. And he came up after the service. We had a really good service and worshiped the Lord, you know, and had the lights all dim, the candles lit, and all this kind of stuff. He came up to me after the service. He says, brother, can I share something with you? Yeah, what's going on, brother? He says, now, if I'm wrong, you correct me. He says, but I felt like during the worship service tonight, the Lord told me to go buy you a new pair of shoes. And he goes, is that God? And I said, well, let me check. And I went like this. And he looked down, and I go, yeah, you heard from the Lord. And he said, now here's the thing. He goes, I'm not just limited to, you know, a certain kind of shoes. He goes, you pick out the kind of shoes that you want. Price is not even an issue. Okay? I'm thinking alligator shoes. No, I'm just kidding. But I said, well, I appreciate that, brother. I believe you did hear from the Lord, you know? And I was looking to the Lord about that. And so two or three days after Christmas, he was still in town. He goes, I'll tell you what, I'll meet you up at the mall. Let's go up there. He goes, hey, find your favorite pair of shoes, favorite shoe store. He goes, we'll take care of it and so forth. So we went up to the mall. I found a great, nice pair that I really liked, you know. And it was so joyful picking that up because I prayed and sought the Lord for that. And then he heard from the Lord too, okay? And he said it was so subtle, but he said, you just had this thought come to him, you know. Buy him a pair of shoes, okay? Now, this is back in the very beginning when I just started to trust God for these kind of things, okay? I'd never believed God for anything like that at all, you know. And that really encouraged me to know that, you know, when you seek first the kingdom, we're going to read here in a second, when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he says all these things will be added unto you, okay? Well, I was certainly seeking the Lord. I was doing the best that I possibly could. But my faith was at such a low infant level. But I had to start where I was. I had to start somewhere, okay? I wasn't looking to my church. I wasn't looking to my job or this or that. I was looking to the Lord for a new pair of shoes. Now, here's the thing. Brother Kenneth Copeland, you know, people say he's a faith giant. He believes for jet planes for his ministry. He does, to share the gospel around the globe. He said, you know how I started out believing for a blue pair of socks? He said, that's how I started my faith journey. Believed God for a blue pair of socks. And guess what? It came in the mail, a blue pair of socks. All right? So you have to understand, you have to locate where you're at and start right where you're at. If someone hasn't worked out, for example, you know, weightlifting, and they've never worked out, and they walk into a big gym and they see people bench pressing 250, 300 pounds, and they get all cocky about it, and they said, you know what, let me try that. They get on that bench, and they drop the weights on them. He's going to crush some ribs because his body is not able to handle that kind of weight or that pressure. Right? Well, faith is like a muscle. You know, if you haven't used your faith muscles to trust the Lord for natural things, it's going to be hard to believe him for something real big when you haven't started out with something small. All right? So it's really important to locate where you're at. Don't condemn yourself, but to locate where you're at and start trusting God for little things. I was so encouraged because when I met Lynn years ago, the thing that so impressed me about her, there's many things, but the one thing that so impressed me about her was her childlike faith. And she still has that childlike faith. Just believe the Lord. And she would believe things for like parking spaces in the mall when it was real crowded. And I thought, you know, I don't know if, I didn't say it, but I was thinking it. You want to keep the peace in the house, amen. Sometimes it's good to bite your tongue, amen. And I thought, why are you praying for, I'm thinking this, I didn't say this, but why are you praying for a parking space until I saw it work? Many, many years ago. Lord, I put my faith out, just so convinced God would provide a parking space, and it wasn't in the handicap zone. Nothing wrong with that. That I didn't need a handicap zone, you know what I'm saying? If a person needs it, that's fine. But she would pray, and then all of a sudden, somebody would back out in like the front or second spot there. And especially during Christmas time when there's you have to circle around and around and around, ring around the rosy. You know what I'm saying? Been there and done. Aren't you glad that's over with? People getting in the flesh. The spirit of Christmas. Beep, beep. You know? But see, I saw the Lord in those situations time and time and time again where she would pray about things and then all of a sudden it shows up, okay? Well, that ain't, the Bible says we're to follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And so we should sharpen one another. We should encourage one another, amen? Listen, if you're strong in an area that I'm not in, that should encourage me, not make me feel jealous. We should ban jealousy completely out of our lives, completely. Hey, if somebody's excelled in an area in their lives, we should celebrate that. Amen. Not get jealous over it. We should let it be a form of encouragement to encourage us. Because that's what the Lord wants to do. Amen. Folks, we're coming up higher this year. It will never be the same again. There's some things I have in my heart. I'm not released to share them right now, but I'm telling you, there's some tremendous things that God has in store this year for this body, for you. Because this church is made up of individuals. How many of you know that? We make up the church. So Jesus talked about, you know, flowers. He talked about, you know, the birds to encourage us that, hey, if I'm going to take care of those things like that, certainly I will take care of you. Now look at verse 31. Here's our golden scripture here, main scripture that I want you to see here this morning. Now the title of this series we're sharing is called The Law of the First. The Law of the First. You see that little in the corner there? That's what this is called. Say the Law of the First. And I said that the things that I'm sharing with you will literally transform your life in 2015. But Jesus said this, but seek ye first. Or no, I'm sorry, look at verse 31. I'm sorry. Go back to 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying. How do you take a thought? You say it. Okay? We've heard that before, haven't we? If you've been around these circles, you hear that. How do you take a thought? You say it. How do you not take a thought? You don't say it. In other words, you sign the package by saying it. You say, he says, take no thought, saying, notice he says, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? How are we going to be clothed? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek, or the heathen seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Now here it is in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, say things, shall be added unto you. Now, what things is he talking about here being added to you? Well, what he just said, things that you eat, things that you wear, amen, right? What you eat, what you wear, and what else? The basic necessities of life. That's not a trick question. Amen. But he said that the heathen, they seek after these things. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What am I going to drive? Where am I going to live? It says they seek after these things day and night. But he said, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these natural things besides, what you eat, what you wear, all the things that you need in this life will be well taken care of if you seek first the kingdom of God. Now, I saw something here recently about this, and that is this, that the devil and his cohorts and the enemy of our souls, Satan, endeavors to make you and I so preoccupied with natural things, okay? The scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, amen? And we're going to talk about how do you do that? What is it and how do you do that? But let me just say this. Part of that is the fact that you showed up at church today.
That's right, amen.
Did you know that?
That's good.
You came to church. That is part of seeking first the kingdom of God. Why? Because God says, do not forsake, in Hebrews chapter 10, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but all the much more as you see the day of Christ approaching. Amen? So even back in those days of Paul, there were people that forsook the assembling together, okay, in a local fellowship in a church like this. But see, that's part of seeking first the kingdom of God, is you honor the Lord by coming to church. How many of you honor the Lord when you come to church? When a person doesn't come to church, they're not honoring the Lord. Are you with me? Now, don't put words. I'm not saying that if you ever miss church, you're going to hell or something like that. I'm not saying that. Okay? Praise the Lord. But what I'm saying is when we seek first the kingdom of God, what's God's priority will be our priority. What's important to God will be important to us. What we value, what God values, if we value what God values, we're putting ourselves in a great position, praise the Lord. Now look at 33 again in the King James. It says, but seek ye first. Say first.
First.
Now, it didn't say second, third, fourth, fifth. Seek ye what? First. Now, go to the New Living Translation, brother, if you would there. And I want you to look at it in the 33rd verse. It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and He will give you everything that you need. Isn't that amazing? Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Now, let's look at the Amplified of that same verse there again. In the Amplified, it says, I really like this one here. It says, but seek, aim at, strive after, first of all, His kingdom, His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. Isn't that wonderful? All these things taken together shall be added unto you. Seek at, aim, strive. Now, I want to get back to the statement that I was making. The enemy of our soul is always endeavoring to sidetrack us. Okay? Jesus referred to Satan as Beelzebub, Lord of the flies. And flies are from the pit of hell, aren't they? But you know, a fly doesn't have a whole lot of power, a little fly, but they sure can be annoying. They certainly can be annoying. You get one fly in a service like this, and everybody's like, you know, it can distract the whole service. Amen? But it's the Bible says in Song of Solomon's 2:15, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. That's an interesting scripture. The little foxes that spoil the vine. Did some research on, find out this is the big foxes, they didn't have to, they were tall enough, they could eat the grapes, you know, that are just hanging low enough. They would reach the grapes. But the little foxes couldn't get to them. So you know what they would do? They would chew at the bottom of the vine and knock the whole vine over with the grapes and all. And they would get the grapes, but it would kill the vine. So the scripture says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things sometimes that can ruin things. Amen? One little bad word can cause an argument or something like that in a household. Amen? Are you with me now? Well, I heard a story one time of a traveling minister that was in one of these RVs, big RVs, you know, and was traveling across the country. And a fly got inside his cabin where he was driving, you know, this big, long RV where they would travel and so forth. He started batting at that thing and getting rid of that fly, you know, and got his attention off the road and went into a ditch, and the RV went on its side. That's not a good thing. And he got to thinking about it. He thought, as big as this RV was, as how much weight it was, this little tiny fly caused him to get distracted, that he tipped over on the side, went off the side of the road, and wrecked his RV. A little tiny fly. And so, folks, it's not always the big things in life that distract us. Yes, there are things that try to, big things that come against us, but sometimes it's those little irritating things, those little thoughts that we don't take captive. And that's why Jesus said, take no thought saying, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? I just got to work my finger to the bone, so to speak. I got to get 5 jobs to make ends meet. No, I'll tell you what we need to do is we need to reevaluate ourselves. And you know, I think it's good sometimes that we sit down and we look in our spiritual mirror, so to speak, and say, you know, I have to reevaluate some things in my life. My priorities have been screwed up. They've been messed up. And I got to put first things first. And I found this to be true, that we always make time for the things that we want to do. Do you know that? We always, all of us have equally divided 24 hours a day, don't we? But what we do with those 24 hours makes all the difference in the world. Now, I want to give you some misconceptions about seeking first the kingdom of God and kind of blow these out of the water, first of all. Because a lot of times people think, well, if I seek first the kingdom of God, now, I used to think this. I thought I had to go be like a monk in a monastery somewhere. Not get married, go live in a monastery somewhere, ring a big bell somewhere, wear a long robe, live a boring life, have one outfit that you wear. Now, that's a little extreme. But I thought back in my early years when I was a teenager, I thought, If I commit to the, this is one of the reasons I ran from the call of God, because I thought all I could identify was with people that lived really boring lives and wore black and a white collar. And that's what I could identify with. There's nothing wrong with wearing black and white. You understand that? Amen, Brother Ray? Hallelujah. He looks cool, praise the Lord. But see, I thought, through wrong thinking, I thought if I answered the call of God in my life, surely He was going to send me off to some third world country somewhere. I'd have to go to China or Cambodia or something like that and be a missionary. I ran from the call of God because I had a weird preconceived idea that that was what was going to happen to me if I said yes to the call of God. That was the furthest thing from the truth. And I found out that if whatever I'm called to do and God's calling me to do something, that will be the greatest desire of my heart. See, if God called me to go live in the African bush or any place in the South America, in the Amazon, that would be the greatest desire of my heart to go do that if that was what He was calling me to do. It wouldn't be a burden. It would be like, I can't wait to get there. Some mosquitoes and all. I'm going, bless the Lord. Now, I know people, I'm getting off a little bit here, but I know people that have calls to do things like that, and it's the greatest pleasure of their lives. They love it. Well, that's not me, but that's okay. I got pastor friends, for example, that love the mission field. They're on the mission field almost half as much as they're back pastoring. That's not me, okay? That's just not in my heart. Now, do we believe in missions? Oh, yeah. Do we support missionaries? You betcha. Check out our bulletin. And we bless them. We encourage them. We pray for them. We sow to them. Amen? And that's all part of this congregation. Thank you, Lord. But they're called to do it, so I'll get behind that. But my desire is to be a pastor and to stay here. That doesn't mean I never go out and get fed and stuff like that. Amen? But my primary call is to be here with the sheep, to feed the sheep of God. Feed. Amen? That's what a pastor is called to do, is to shepherd and to feed and to guide and to give you spiritual food that you can go out there in the week and live a successful life. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things. So let's ask this question, number one. If the Lord says, seek first the kingdom of God, first of all, we have to do is locate it. Where is it at? If we're going to seek first the kingdom of God, I have to seek, first of all, if I go tell you to look for something, I have to give you a general idea where it's at. Okay? If God says, seek first the kingdom of God, but He doesn't tell you how to do that, then it leaves us in an improper position. We don't know. Well, what am I supposed to, how do I know when I get there? All right? Now, all of you here this morning, you came from your house and you had a destination, this destination right here for this service right now. Let's just say that was your goal. Amen. Some people thought about it, but they didn't act on it. Amen. But when you have a goal, so you, unconsciously, I'm going to church this morning. So you got in your car and you unconsciously, you went and you came to your destination. There it is. You're here right now. You showed up. You arrived. All right. But if you just randomly drove around thinking, well, I'm not sure what I'm going to do today. Not exactly sure where I'm going to go, what I'm going to do. You could still be driving around 3 hours from now and have no destination. All right? So to seek first the kingdom of God, we have to know, first of all, where is it? All right? Now go to Luke chapter 17. I want to show you this. Luke the 17th chapter. We're talking about the law of the first. Amen? And if we're going to experience God's best in 2015, I want to show you how to do that by putting God's kingdom first. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't know about you, but the times that I've messed up in my life and didn't get God's best was when I wasn't seeking God's kingdom first. How many of you can attest to the same thing? You got sidetracked, you know, you got distracted and things happen and this happened and you're trying to take care of bills and take care of this, take care of the kids. And I mean, it just goes on month after month after month after month. And you realize, where am I going? I haven't gotten anywhere here. I'm more frustrated now than I was when I first started. But it says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. This is liberty. This is not bondage. Someone says, well, you got to seek first the kingdom of God. No, you get to. I don't have to. I get to. Someone came up to a preacher one time. They said, Brother so-and-so, do I have to speak with tongues when I'm filled with the Holy Ghost? It was kind of one of those trap questions. So he listened inside. He thought, no, you don't have to. You get to. Big difference, huh? You don't have to speak with tongues when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, it's like Brother Osteen used to say, you know, when you buy the pair of shoes, the tongues come with it. What's all this stuff about tongues and speaking in other tongues? Let me tell you something. It's a supernatural prayer language. Oh, dear God, you don't have to go to some university to learn that language. You get it instantly like that, talking fluent languages. When I first got filled with the Holy Ghost, I started speaking in 3 or 4 different dialects. Didn't understand a word I was saying, but I sure was edified. I was blessed. We say, well, brother, what good is speaking with tongues if you don't understand what you're saying? I'm glad you asked that question, because I had the same question. The Bible says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue is not speaking to men, but to God.
Amen.
To God.
Yes.
Listen, I don't understand a lick of Spanish, but that doesn't mean it's not a valid language. I don't understand Chinese. That doesn't mean it's not a valid language. We may not understand the tongue that we're speaking, but that doesn't mean it's not a valid language.
Amen.
Paul said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love. Remember that?
Yes.
You can speak in tongues of men and of angels. And it's a super, now this is not our subject here this morning, but I'll just take a little side journey, won't charge you extra for it. But, you know, when you speak with tongues, the Bible says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue is not speaking to men, but unto God.
Amen.
And Romans chapter 8 says that when you pray in the Spirit, all things are working together for good. That doesn't mean car wrecks and falling out of trees, getting run over by something, that all things are working together. That's not what that means. He's talking about likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities when we don't know how to pray for things as we ought. And the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He searches the hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, verse 28, that all things work together for the good, for those that love God, for them that are called according to His purpose. I know that was a mouthful. But let me just say it like this. Let me paraphrase what Paul is saying. When you don't know how to pray like you should, that's when you say, Holy Spirit, come here. I want to pray for Uncle Joe. I don't know what's going on with him, but he needs prayer bad. I don't know what to pray in English, so how should I pray? And the Holy Spirit will say, just open your mouth and now speak with other tongues. I don't understand a word I'm saying, but the Holy Ghost is putting words in my mouth that I can pray out the perfect will of God for that man or for that woman or that boy or that girl.
Hallelujah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that's why the devil hates the message of tongues so bad. Oh, it's a major threat to him.
Amen.
And that's why many, many, many churches are ashamed. Now, there's a right place for tongues, all right? You understand that? Okay? But that's why many, many people have shut down the move of the Spirit, shut down the giftings of God when it's the most supernatural language that there is. Almost ashamed of it. I've been in full gospel churches where they're actually ashamed of the moving of the Spirit. And I realize you're going to have flakes and things like that once in a while, but listen, I'd rather have a little wildfire. Brother Hagin used to say, I'd have a little wildfire than no fire at all. Okay? Some said, they're out of line. That's okay. That's right. At least we're moving in that direction. Okay? See, God hasn't called us to be flaky and weird, but sometimes, you know, the flake has to come out of all of us. Okay? I used to do weird, bizarre things. I won't get into that. Amen. When I was a young Christian. But that doesn't do away with the power of God. The power of God. You can pray for 3 minutes in other tongues, and you are praying the perfect will of God
Amen.
For that child.
Amen. That's really good.
You having a rough time with one of your kids or something like that? You say, Lord, I've done everything I know to do in the natural. I've prayed every scripture I can pray. Boy, I'll tell you what. You can get real weary real fast if you don't yield to the Holy Ghost. Because your strength runs out. It's like that battery that just... And then that's it. But the Holy Spirit's like that energizing bunny, amen, that energizer. He comes in you, and you start to pray for things. And there comes a sense of satisfaction after even a few minutes. And you're praying for that person, that son or that daughter or that grandchild or whatever, you know, or that husband or that wife. And you're praying this thing out in other tongues. All things are working together for good.
Amen.
Now you know why the devil fights that tooth and toenail.
Amen.
I don't know where that phrase ever came from, but that's why the devil fights the moving of the Spirit in the area of speaking and praying with other tongues. Because it's such a threat to his kingdom.
So true.
Amen.
Amen.
What if you knew a person, for example, that their track record, their prayer track record was 100% hit every single time. And every time they prayed, they got results. Do you think that they would be much wanted? Do you think people would be knocking on their door to say, I got some prayer requests, can you pray for this? You better believe it. They'd be running to this person because their track record is 100%. Every time they pray, things happen every single time. We would flock, people would flock to someone that had that kind of prayer power, right? But listen, there's someone greater than that called the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, thank you.
Who is your standby, your intercessor, your advocate. Hallelujah. I was just here. I just heard recently a sermon about, there was a, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was, this is back 100 years ago over in Europe, over in England, part of England. And there's a really, really powerful move of God in this part of the country back in the early days of the Pentecostal movement in England. And so they built this big platform in this church, you know, and it was big enough where it was high enough that there was a closet underneath the podium. Now, you really couldn't tell unless you saw it from the side, but there was a door that went into there, and the intercessors, the prayer people, would go into this little room that was underneath the podium, this wooden podium, okay? And so while the pastor was preaching, while the minister was preaching, and the fire of God would fall, but every once in a while it would start to get dry. People start yawning, looking at their clocks and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So he would do this. Boom, boom. Now, the people in the congregation didn't know what was going on. They just thought he was getting all excited. Boom, boom. Get that heel out there, you know? And so they would just turn up the power, and they would start to pray in other tongues, and all of a sudden miracles would just break out. Within a minute or two, miracles would start to break out and utterance would come to the minister. The power of God would fall and things would take place.
Glory to God.
Amen. When they prayed, the power fell. So if we want the power in our lives, we got to pray. We got to pray. That doesn't mean you have to spend 3 hours a day in prayer and quit your job and everything else. My God, you can pray in tongues going to work. Turn that doggone radio off and take that 20 minutes and say, all right, Holy Spirit, here we go. And open your mouth and let it flow. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And that is available to every believer, by the way. Being filled with the Holy Ghost, the only qualification that's necessary is that you're a child of God. If you're born again, you know Jesus, you qualify to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It will change your life. Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses. Hallelujah. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. Well, if they needed it, Jesus commanded his disciples. Oh, we're getting on something here. Jesus commanded his disciples to go wait in the upper room, and there was 500 present when he said that. In Luke chapter 24, he says, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And Corinthians bears that out in 1 Corinthians 15, that there was over 500 Christians there at one time. But how many showed up in the upper room? 120. So where was the other 300 some odd people? Probably washing their donkey. Down at the grocery market. Okay. You know what the definition of whosoever is? Everybody won't. Anybody can. Somebody will. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Amen. Who's a whosoever? I'm a whosoever. What's the definition? Everybody won't. Anybody can, but somebody will. See, you can decide this year you're going to make a difference in your life. Now, that, when I say that, I'm not talking about, all right, I'm going to buy this course. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to become a better person. I'm not even talking about that. Self-help. I'm talking about God inside-minded. When you know God's on the inside of you and He's working things out in you and He's praying through you, that's all you need, buddy. That's all you need. If you got God, you got everything. When you have Him, you got it all. I don't know how else to say it. It's the best way to say it. When you have God, you have it all. So, this guy would beat his foot on the platform. Not knowing, those people were clueless out there. They didn't know, but all of a sudden here comes the power and it shows up. We're talking 100 years ago, you know. Back in the days of Smith Wigglesworth, back in those days. I mean, mighty power. People being raised from the dead, those kinds of things. Well, is God any different now than He was back then? No, this Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God. He's never changed.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. He's never changed. But what has changed to a certain degree is our yielding to Him in these things called prayer. We'll announce next week. We're going to have a prayer meeting this month sometime. I'm not sure which night it's going to be, but I'm going to let you know about that because we're going to have one this month. The Lord just told me that right now. So, amen. We'll let you know. But there is such power available to people when you open your mouth and you pray in the Spirit, the most holy language that there is. I had no intention on even talking about this morning. I know it's the Lord prompting me to bring me over in this area here. Because here's why. So many of us in this room face seemingly impossible situations. You're looking at this big mountain before you and you're like, that's been there a long time. And it's staking its claim. It's trying to stake its claim in your life. Saying, you know what? I'm going to be here forever in your life. This massive problem, I'm going to be here forever in your life. And then you feel so small next to it, you're looking up at it and thinking, well, yeah, it's been there for 5 years. It's been there for 25 years. What makes me think it's going to move this year? In the name of Jesus, it will. So it's not, Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. It's not by your might, not by your power, but it's by His Spirit that the mountain's going to be removed. Praise the Lord. Amen. So when we yield ourselves, the quickest way, my spiritual father, Kenneth E. Hagin, said this, that the quickest way that you can see, that you can yield to the Lord is by opening up your mouth and yielding to Him in prayer and praying in other tongues. See, I had the impression back in the day that the only time that, you know, when I was filled with the Spirit in 1981 in a Brian Rudd crusade in our church that I was in, when I thought that the only time you would speak in tongues is when you felt goosebumps or felt some weird feeling or something like that, you know. And the other thing, I had a misconception. I thought I could be in a grocery line somewhere and there's people all around me. And I thought, what if the Spirit comes on me and I have to speak with tongues? That's a misconception. And you just break out in tongues, everybody thinks you're a weirdo. No, that's not, listen, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets, okay? You can hold your peace. The spirit's never going to come on you and make you do anything. That's the devil. He drives and pushes. But you can yield yourself to him. I'm telling you, you can pray without people even knowing it. You can pray, I'm telling you, underneath your breath. Man, there's all kind of spiritual warfare going on in the room. There's people all around you. They don't even know what's going on. Okay? But when you yield yourself to that, that's the greatest way that you can. We know what a yield sign is, right? You give the right of way. So if we're going to see, thank you, Holy Spirit. If we're going to see true changes, lasting changes in people's lives this year, start even yourself, okay? He's going to help your infirmities, your weaknesses, okay? But he'll not only help your weaknesses, he'll help someone else's weaknesses as well. Amen? And when you yield yourself, I've watched through the years, Lynn and I, we've been married almost 33 years now. And I've seen through the years the times where God's used her in prayer in a mighty way, yielding to the Holy Ghost and praying, and we didn't know what was going on. But something seemed wrong. Something was something dangerous. Something was on the horizon. Something wasn't right. Couldn't pinpoint what it was in the natural. Couldn't lay hold of what it was. But we would give ourselves to prayer, not knowing exactly what we're praying about. Okay? Now stay with me real quick here. When you do that, your mind's going to be like, all right, what are we praying about? What's going on here? You know? You don't have to know everything right then and there. But when you give yourself over to that and you pray things out, all of a sudden, maybe a day later or a couple days later or even that afternoon, you'll see, oh, that's what I was praying about. That's what it was. Someone's life was in danger. Something happened. Well, the Spirit of God knows. The Holy Ghost knows if someone's life is in danger. He knows. If someone's about to do something that's going to take their life or something like that, the Holy Spirit will prompt you to pray. Okay? But don't be like Curious George and try to figure everything out. Lord, why are you having me do this? You know? No, just yield yourself. Amen. Yield yourself. Amen. Yield yourself. And great power will take place. Amen. Yield your tongue unto me, saith the Lord, and you'll see mountains fall down before your very eyes. Yield your tongue unto me, and I will pray through you and bring about great and tremendous results. Yea, there will be things that you've dealt with and seen for many months, and yes, even many years, that seemingly wouldn't change. But when you give yourself over to me in prayer and yield your tongue unto me and pray out in other tongues, then surely you'll see a turnaround. Surely you'll see the walls come down. Surely the doctor's report will change. Surely, surely that financial situation will turn around. As you yield yourself to me, blessing shall come and the devil will have to run. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We'll do that, Lord. We'll do that. We'll practice that, Lord. We'll do that. Okay. Goodness gracious, we're almost out of time here. Luke 17. Did I have you turn there? Okay. So where is the kingdom of God? Well, let's start in verse 20. Luke 17, verse 20 says, when he demanded of the Pharisees that when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, Jesus said this, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. In other words, you're not going to look out there and see it. It doesn't come with your eyesight or observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Notice this, the kingdom of God is within you. Now let's look at the Amplified real quick here at verse 20. It says, asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he replied to them saying, the kingdom of God does not come with signs to be observed or with visible display, nor will people say, look, here it is, or see, there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you, in your hearts, and among you, surrounding you. Isn't that wonderful? So now there's a difference, and I'll get into this next week, but there's a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. But Jesus said now in the New Testament, which we're living in right now, the kingdom of God is within you. Okay? I believe it's Romans chapter 14, verse 17. We'll bring that up here. This is our last scripture here. Notice this. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, what we eat or what we drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy. Notice there's no sad Holy Ghost. You can't get a sad Holy Ghost. He's pretty happy. Holy Ghost shows up. Hey! Glory to God. Amen. He's a happy Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Some people think the only time you yield the Holy Ghost, you get sad and sorry, and I mean, you look like you just came out of a funeral service. You can't find a sad Holy Ghost. Amen. It says the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. There's another Southern translation that says the kingdom of God is not coffee and donuts, but it's righteousness. That's the Ben Campbell Johnson translation. But it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So if we're to seek first the kingdom of God, we got to find out where it's at. If you're born again, which you are, how many of you saved here this morning? All right, praise the Lord. Where's the kingdom of God? Inside you. Oh, there's a kingdom inside you. And that's the kingdom that we need to develop. And we'll get into more of the practical things about this. But when you seek first the kingdom of God, like, for example, you read the Bible, you're seeking the kingdom of God. When you pray, you're seeking the kingdom of God. When you come to church, you're seeking the kingdom of God. When you ask God for wisdom in every decision of your life, amen, then you're inquiring of the Lord, and He's going to show you what to do, which way to go. Amen? Jesus is Lord has become a very popular statement. Jesus is Lord. But there are people that say Jesus is Lord, but they live the way that they want to live life. They still want to party. Amen? They still want to go out and get drunk. Smoke some weed. Are you with me now? They ain't seeking first the kingdom of God. That's not the kingdom of God. That's seeking first them, what they feel is good. Are you with me now? But when you seek first the kingdom of God, you're building up that inner man on the inside of you. Praise God. Well, make no mistake about it. When you seek first the kingdom of God, He is going to chase you down with blessings. Amen. Did you get something out of this morning? Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. Lynn, I'm going to ask you to pray for the people, for all of us here in closing about this new year, and let's just commit our time to the Lord. Mm-hmm.